Shalom, Haverim. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Ben, along with my lovely partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, sweetie, and a big shalom to the body of Christ. We are completing our faith journey of the 12 minor prophets today with Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, who says a lot, quite frankly. But first, let's pray for today's study.
Abba, Father, holy God of Israel, who gave us your Son, our Messiah. And just by using the power of his name, we can overcome any evil entity that crosses our path. Guide us by the light of your word. Let every verse increase our wisdom to finish the race you have individually set before us. Protect our young ones from harm and filter out any unclean thoughts from entering their minds. We pray for our loved ones, that they can know you in a passionately deep and personal way. As well, we lift up to you our listeners' health issues, especially our most recent requests. Bless today's study. Until you come again, we will honor and glorify you alone. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
So, we have some quick news to talk about.
Yes, and let us point out, we try to report news that ties in with Scripture, especially concerning the end times. And I have to say, earthquakes heavily fit that bill. You know, those two major ones of a magnitude of around 7 in California on July 4th and 5th, that caused over $200 million in damage. But hear this, they are increasing quickly in number. Since then, there have been 80,000 recorded smaller earthquakes.
Wow, you know, it sounds like California shaking all the time.
Well, the people say they often feel them, and they just go on about their day. So with that said, though, the seismologists are more concerned, especially now, because all these smaller quakes are heading in the direction of the Garlock Fault, which leads into the bigger one called the San Andreas Fault Line, which could easily produce a 9 on the Richter scale, which is like 1,000 times more than a 7. So I refer you back to Matthew 24:7, also in Mark and Luke also.
Hey, you know, I wonder, why doesn't John's Gospel talk about earthquakes, or actually doesn't talk about the tribulation at all?
Well, he does a lot in Revelation after chapter 4, but in his gospel, John is mainly talking to the bride of Christ. And since we won't be here, why mention it at all? We are, however, witnessing increasing foreshadows.
Mm-hmm. Proving we must be getting closer.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. How's Israel these days?
Well, they're elated in the fact that they have just tested their new Arrow 3 operational system. Why don't you read what Prime Minister Netanyahu actually said?
Our innovative test done in Alaska took part in collaboration with our ally, the United States. The test outside the atmosphere went perfectly. Each target was a bullseye. Israel now has the ability to send ballistic missiles to Iran.
Mm.
A huge gain for Israel's security.
I guess, but we also read that Iran is capable of a simultaneous barrage of ballistic missiles. Israel's Arrow 3 would just not be able to catch that all of that.
Yeah, but you know, Israel's also working on Arrow 4 to take care of that problem.
Of course. So anyway, who would have ever thought, even 100 years ago, how knowledge would increase?
Well, you know, Daniel 12 said it would.
And it surely has, big time.
Anything you want to say about the Mueller hearing?
Oh, not really. It's so exhausting to see that in spite of there being no there, the Dems are still talking impeachment. Well, you can all watch Fox News for that, although I must say we are watching Fox News less and less for a lot of reasons. And then I saw last Saturday morning, they actually had a medium necromancer who said, your dead loved ones are messaging us. And that upset me, especially because Jedediah was so excited that a medium was on the program, for she had been really interested in this sort of thing for a long time. So they just gave a good promo for demonic influence. Apparently, she does not read her Bible, because in Leviticus 19:31, it says,
"Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God."
Who is them?
Evil entities.
Yes, demonic forces determined to deceive you.
Any good news to excite this segment?
Well, I do. The Supreme Court decided President Trump can use money from the defense fund to build his wall.
Okay. Send us your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net, or call the office and leave your detailed message 2-440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. And your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for our updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
As well, a reminder that this program is also aired every Sunday morning at 8:30 on WELW FM station 101.5.
That's 101.5 FM.
Mm-hmm. And you might want to mark your calendars on the first Friday night in September.
That's September 6th.
Right, so just prior to the fall feast, well, we're going to be at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
with a very timely message.
Very timely. And also, our July-August newsletter should be out by the end of next week. And we will be taking a few weeks off. We're actually going to go camping on the beach of Cape Charles with some of our family. And we will also be visiting the swamp.
Washington, D.C.
But don't worry. Hand-picked selected programs will be aired from our archives.
Okay, time for Malachi.
Yes, quite a prophetic gem. Faith when faced with hard questions.
Well, you know, he preached during the days of Nehemiah.
He did. And was both bold and patient while directing his message of judgment to a people plagued with corrupt leaders whose priests were conducting wicked practices while portraying an attitude of superiority and a false sense of security because they considered themselves to have a more privileged relationship with God.
That was arrogant thinking on their part.
For sure. I like Malachi's style of using the question and answer method.
Well, you know, you use it a lot too.
I know. I think it's more thought-provoking. Anyhow, Malachi probes into their problems of hypocrisy, infidelity, mixed marriages, divorce, false worship, etc.
And their arrogance.
Yes. So sinful had the nation become that God's word to the people no longer had much impact. So therefore, for 400 years after Malachi's condemnations, God remains silent until the coming of John the Baptist, when God communicates again through another prophet's voice.
But God was still watching over them, you know, through this 400-year period.
Oh, sure. And he miraculously helped the Maccabees overtake Antiochus Epiphanes, as most of you know, even though he did allow all that turmoil to take place.
Indeed.
Okay, Malachi's name means
my messenger.
Yes, a messenger of Yahweh, which is very appropriate because Malachi preaches about another messenger.
Bringing a new covenant.
Praise the Lord. So chapter 1 begins with God instructing Malachi to tell the people how much he has loved them. But their response was,
oh yeah? How?
There's arrogance among the people too. God says through Malachi, I have loved Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, so to include all his descendants, but goes on to say, Esau's line I have hated. Why? Because they have always been Israel's worst enemy. And by the way, will be completely destroyed as per the writings of Obadiah.
Which we also studied.
We did. Honey, please read verse 4.
Even though Edom,
which are the descendants of Esau,
has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places.
Oh, yeah? Well, let's see what God says to that.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever.
There are those, you know, that are born wicked from the womb. So says Psalm 58, verse 3. So Malachi continues in chapter 1, listing their many offenses, to include their polluted sacrifices, defiled food, and blemished animals. Therefore, he will accept their sacrifices no more. And now Malachi prophesies that it's time to go to the Gentiles in verse 11. So, honey, please read the last part of verse 10 and all of verse 11.
I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord.
And we say, thank you, Jesus. So Malachi finishes chapter 1 with these words, verse 14.
Cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations.
Remember, Gentiles and the word nations is the same Hebrew word, number 1471, goyim. Now chapter 2 begins where God, through Malachi, rebukes the corrupt priests and curses them along with their descendants, while also cursing their blessings that they might try to give to others. Then starting in verse 4, he commends Levi, to whom God originally gave his covenant, and praises the original Levitical priesthood for their reverential fear of the Lord, who also turned many to righteousness and away from iniquity.
You know, Revelation 1 says we are now priests of the new covenant.
That's right. We are. So let me ask you out there, are you wearing his garments well? Honey, please read verse 8 and 9 of chapter 2 as he continues with his scolding.
But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base.
That just means lowly and humble.
Before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law.
In other words, their priests were more privileged, or so they assumed. Then Malachi continues on the fact that they dealt treacherously with one another, where the men were marrying the daughters of a foreign god, which was like infidelity, because the women would use their husbands' lustful vulnerabilities to sway them into foreign idol worship.
Yeah, and that is a fact. They did.
And yet, they would still bring an offering to the God of Jacob as if all is well.
Wow, you know, is that today?
So many in our churches will receive communion while fornicating and living together in an unmarried state.
Sure, why not? Even some practicing homosexuals still go to church as if nothing is wrong.
Even though the word forbids such unions.
Romans 1 and other places.
Mm-hmm. Continuing on that same thread in chapter 2, Malachi stresses the fact that they were very complacent with living with their sins, and also points out that the men's adultery against the wife of their youth, thereby breaking their covenant made under God, who also hates divorce. Then in verse 17, Malachi says, they have wearied the Lord by claiming that doing evil is good. Because, God still delights in them. Chapter 2 closes with their own question.
Where is the God of justice?
In other words, they are asking, if they're doing so evil, why hasn't God shown his justice?
Yeah. Oh, it's coming soon.
It sure
with
is.
With a wicked ruler.
Antiochus Epiphanes, who was raised in Rome, by the way, which is where I believe the Antichrist will also come from, and can easily be figured out by reading Daniel 9, 25 through 27. So Malachi then prophesies in chapter 3 of a new covenant and a new messenger coming, which did take 400 years, but please read verse 1, honey.
Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me.
That's John the Baptist.
And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
So he's making the promise now, because he will be silent for 400 years, during which time they will suffer under persecution, till finally Judah the Maccabee steps up, forms an army, and defeats the Seleucid's leader, Antiochus Epiphanes. Soon Rome, although for centuries had been a powerful force, became an empire around 30 BC, so officially in power when Jesus appears on the scene about 6 months after John the Baptist, his forerunner, was baptizing and preaching about his first coming.
Then there is a gap for the church age.
Right. We read that Malachi in verse 2 jumps ahead about 2,000 years, for he is now describing Jesus' second coming as a refiner's fire, and who can endure that? He will purge all the adulterers, sorcerers, perjurers, and exploiters because they obviously do not fear the Lord. And in verse 7, promises Israel continuous descendants and uses the same words as Zechariah did.
Return to me, and I will return to you.
Now in verses 8 through 10, Malachi also tells them that they are robbing God by not tithing, therefore missing God's blessings, because God wants to rebuke the devourer who would otherwise destroy their goods and crops.
By the way, you know, it's not a sin if you don't tithe.
I know. However, God does bless those who are generous, which helps to spread the gospel and teach the word to Christians so they can grow. I must tell you from our heart, as a radio ministry, we do struggle. So please, bless us too when you are giving.
Amen to that.
Then in verse 13 through 15, they're complaining that God is too harsh on them and question why the wicked get away scot-free.
But we say, not forever.
So he reassures them that nothing goes unnoticed, and that everything they say and do for good is, or just meditating on his name, is written in the book of remembrance. And we know that book will be opened at the resurrection, for the rewards will be given to all the righteous. In other words, every time you even say praise the Lord, it is recorded. Are you storing up your treasures?
Verse 17 says, he will make us his jewels and will spare us.
He will spare us from the final indignation. And then we will all discern between one who serves God and one who does not. Justice will come and it will prevail. Now, chapter 4 focuses on the end of it all, when all the wicked will be turned to stubble. I especially want to focus on the first part of verse 2. Could you read that?
But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings.
The Son of Righteousness is spelled S-U-N for two reasons. First, the obvious one, that he is the true light of the world, and we will not need or even have the sun in his kingdom. But also, I see a hidden meaning here, in that just like the sun was created at the end of the fourth day, Jesus first comes to them at the end of the fourth 1,000th year of time. And then for 2,000 years, or 2 days to God, he will return, as Hosea 6:2 confirms. So we know that it's about over. He will rescue us soon, just before or at the same time that the seventh day begins. And as we say a lot, God only knows for sure when that is, because our calendars aren't exactly as precise as God's is.
But again, we know, you know, it has to be very close.
No doubt about that. It also says in verse 2 that he will have healing in his wings. Mm. And that's just an expression in, by using the Greek word meaning tzitzits, which is the little tied knots on the garment, on the hem of the garment worn by all Jewish men. And it represents the Torah that Jesus also wore. Now, the lady with the issue of blood in Luke 8 was probably Jewish. So by the first century, she had access to the scriptures, which is why she probably reached for the hem of his garment and was healed. You know, the word always gives you faith.
And she obviously had it.
And since it was the last book of the Old Testament, it became a more curious read. Malachi closes his writings with the prophecy of sending a prophet who will turn hearts. Verse 5.
I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Now, the word for before is a little misleading, but in Greek it's panim, and it's number 6440, which actually means at the forefront or at the very beginning of the tribulation. Now, Elijah is the prophet of all the prophets. And Moses, who Malachi first mentions in verse 4, will be the other prophet. Why? Well, because he penned the Torah. And to be honest, just like Elijah was taken up, we don't know what happened to Moses' body. Even Satan couldn't find it. So they will both be coming back during the tribulation. And therefore, they both represent his word, right? Moses wrote the Torah, and Elijah is the prophet of all the prophets. That's the Old Testament. So therefore, both will return and witness during the first half of the tribulation, when, according to Revelation 11, they will be killed and lay in the streets for 3.5 days. But then, for all to see, will rise up to heaven. Oh my, I can only imagine the looks on their faces then. Which is then, of course, followed by a huge earthquake. I know some of you out there think that one of the witnesses is Enoch, but I have to tell you that Enoch is just a picture of the church being taken up. Enoch wasn't even Jewish, so keep that in mind. Okay, and I've done a lot of study on that, so therefore... All right, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For those who love her shall prosper. And, of course, that's Psalm 122, verse 6. So keep looking up. You know, there are so many clues as to where we are on God's time clock. Don't just think they're for naught. Remember Hebrews 10:25 says, to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. You know, that's got to tell us why he is giving us increasing clues. Especially if this is the year, so we can see the day approaching. I don't know how your vision is, but mine's pretty darn good, and I can see the day approaching. Okay, remember, coming up on the first Friday in September, just prior to the fall feast, we will be at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is actually 306 in Chesterland. And we will definitely have a very timely message. We will talk about the fall feast. Try to come if you can. In the meantime, witness to somebody and keep us in prayer, especially for our finances right now. I appreciate that. God bless you. Till next time. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.